And so the Lord cleaned out the temple. Now, let's take these 10 minutes and look at this next portion. The Jews in verse 18 want to know, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? So the purging of the temple, that promotes repentance with you and me as the temple of the Lord. And also, obviously, you are a temple in the sense, I said this morning, you're a temple yourself as an individual, carrying the Holy Spirit, carrying the grace of God. You dwell in a temple of clay, your body. Stay clean. The Bible specifically says, flee fornication. You commit fornication, you sin against your own body. Amen? Amen. Flee things like the alcohol and all that. Yes, amen. But the promise of the resurrection, we're going to see this in verses 18 to 22 because the Jewish men here, they're saying, whoa, hold on a second. You're acting in an authoritative way here. I mean, you just drove out, you know, the animals, you turned over the tables, you poured out the money, you said, everybody out. You're cleaning out this house. You're claiming it's your father's house. What gives you the authority to do this? You'll have to show us a sign. They're saying, in essence, you are behaving in a messianic way. It's like the Lord has come into His holy temple, like you see in Isaiah, you know, prophesied in Malachi in these places. You're fulfilling things like that. So if you're coming in here and taking over and controlling and cleaning and everything, then you're going to have to give us a sign that you have the right to do this. I mean, what does Jesus do? He responds with, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, this is an amazing thing to me, very interesting. You see, when you have a church that believes in keeping a pure church, when you have pastors that believe in a pure church that has to continually be cleansed and purged, people who doubt the Word of God, people who want to compromise with sin and worldliness, and some people who are not compromisers or doubters, but maybe just immature and not strong in truth, one thing they will worry about when they watch temple purging or house cleaning in action, one thing they'll worry about is this. Well, how are we going to be able to give the gospel to sinners and see people saved and the church grow if we're hardcore about, you know, keeping the house clean? I mean, you know, we're just going to scare people away. I mean, like I'll bet a few of you tonight, and I'm not condemning you and castigating you, but I guarantee you, there's a few of you that have thought, boy, I'm glad lost people didn't come tonight. They'd think our preacher's crazy. You know, I mean, there's no way they'd want to join this church. You know, he's up here yelling about Rod Parsley and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen. I mean, these are icons of American Christianity. And he's warning us about it. He's telling people we ought to throw away books and tapes and CDs and don't read certain websites. And he, you know, I mean, it's probably a good thing there's no lost people because it could really scare them away. You know, this temple cleaning, whew, you know, actually notice something. This temple cleaning he did opened up an opportunity for Jesus to preach the gospel. Amen. Now you keep, hold on to that. Think about that. This is really powerful. We'll see why in a few minutes. This is the first instance in the book of John of Jesus preaching the gospel, talking about his resurrection. He promises his resurrection here. And the opportunity, Jesus, came about after he does what looks crazy to most people, what looks wacky, what looks like, what kind of a preacher does this type of thing, you know? I mean, driving people out, using a whip that he made and tipping the tables over and all. Actually, hey, who are you? Can you give us a sign? What right do you have to do this? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now, they didn't get the point. They're thinking, temple. 46 years was this temple building. You're going to raise it up in 3 days? What are you talking about? Jesus often dealt with people this way. He veiled. He made it a little bit cloudy. He spoke kind of parabolically, like a parable. Why did he do that? You'll find, comparing Scripture with Scripture, why he did it. He did it because it was a way that would reveal who was humble and who was proud. Huh? How would humble people react to this? Simple. They'd ask a question. Like, well, can you explain that? How would proud people react? Oh, yeah, you're going to tear this down in 3 days, raise it up. 46 years. Puh! They walk away. Whatever. He's crazy. He's got a devil. He's the son of Belial. Isn't his father Joseph the carpenter? And isn't his mom? Yeah. Who does he think he is? But a humble person would say, I don't understand that. Destroy the temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they'd say, could you explain that to us? Remember the parables? A certain man went forth to sow, et cetera, et cetera. And the multitudes walk home going, And a few of them come in and say, Lord, would you declare unto us, would you teach us what you mean? And Jesus said, yes, I will. You see, it is for you, but it's not for them. Why? Because they've chosen pride. They've chosen to close their ears, and so God has plugged their ears. They've chosen to close their eyes, so God has blinded them. They've chosen to not have their hearts towards God, so God has let their hearts just get congealed and fat, if you will. He's fattened their hearts. And see, they listen and go, what in the world is he talking about? But they don't go, hey, preacher, could you help me understand that? God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. So the Lord promises the resurrection, but he veils it. He veils it. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. So the proud ones, they ridiculed him. The disciples didn't totally understand it at the time. But they stuck with him. And he kept revealing more and more to them. John clearly states here, he was speaking of the temple of his body. When he was therefore risen from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed in the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now some of these disciples were already saved, and they knew from John's preaching that Jesus was the Lamb, and he'd be the sacrificial lamb, but also that he would rise again. But I don't know if they ever grasped until after the resurrection. He told them more than once, specifically, three days, but it doesn't seem they grasped that it would be so soon. I think they always they believed in the resurrection. We see that plainly. They believed in the resurrection of the righteous unto eternal life, and they believed that Jesus would rise again. But I don't think it was clicking with them that it would be, you know, after just a few days. But on that blessed Sunday morning, when he came out of the grave, they did remember the Scriptures of the Old Testament. And they did remember what he had said. And they did believe, not at that point being saved, they were already saved, but it all came together for them. Think of the two on the road to Emmaus. They were saved. But as Jesus unfolded the Old Testament Scriptures, it all came together. And they realized that their King, their Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had died for them, and they believed he would rise again, but they realized he rose again that morning. It had happened, and it all, and he helped them understand, oh, if there was ever a sermon I'd like to have heard, it was that one. Jesus preaching Jesus from the Old Testament. You know, you and I have this temptation. If we keep the house clean as a body, I mean, if we keep Midcoast Baptist Church clean, and as individuals set in the body, individual living stones set in this temple, if we really, I mean, if you really go all the way with this, how God wants you to live, you're going to stand out. Not all the time, not everywhere, but there's going to be times you stick out big time. And you know what you struggle with, and I struggle with at times? How are we going to reach people if we're so different? Jesus cleaned up the temple, and he had an opportunity to preach the gospel. The same works for you and me. Here's how it works. You'll have that time when everybody else is doing it, and you have to be there because maybe it involves work or whatever, and then it comes, and you say, no, I'm not getting involved in that. You know what a humble person will say? They'll come over at some point and they'll say, hey, you know, I noticed there's just things you don't. What's the deal with that? Why won't you? There it is. There's the opportunity. You got a gospel opportunity because you're keeping the house clean. Amen. You'll have someone say one time, hey, I noticed you and your kids, you know. I mean, your kids are different than most kids. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but they're different. What's the deal with you and your family? Praise the Lord. Clean house. You got an opportunity. Hey, so what? So I've been wanting to ask you for a few months anyway. What happened to you? I mean, you know, you used to not dress like that. I mean, I'm not saying you're not dressing. I mean, I'm not saying anything about your dress. It's your business. It's private. Hey, whatever. Whatever works. No, it's America. It's the 21st century. Whatever works for whoever. But you're different than you used to be. You're more like conservative. So you got Mennonite? Are you Amish? If you got Amish, have you joined a cult? A lady that dresses right, it's honestly, you get more opportunities, I think, ladies, especially with other ladies, just from that alone. It's almost like a billboard letting folks know, yeah, we're different. And we hear it all the time, and we hear, are you guys religious or something? Are you Mormons? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm thankful. But I've got a 13-year-old daughter that doesn't look like most 13-year-old girls had here. And I wish those 13-year-old girls were saved. The trajectory they're on is so terrible. The path they're on is so bad. What an opportunity. What an opportunity when people say, hey, what is it about you guys that's so different? How come you guys, we notice every Sunday, every Sunday night, morning, night, and Wednesday night, you're always all jumping in the cars and dressing up and all. What, are you going to church that much? I mean, what is it? Are you guys, wow, you're really into it. Praise the Lord. Hey, I noticed when I told that joke, you didn't laugh the other day. What's up? My jokes aren't funny. Well, you know, the Lord saved me. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, and I want to be careful about the type of things that I give my approval to. And a good hearty laugh at a joke is me giving a thumbs up, and I can't do that. Not to that. And here's why. It's not that I think I'm better than you, and I think I'm up here and you're down here, but it's that I'm saved. And the Bible tells me to keep no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, and the Bible tells me not to find joy and delight and humor and sin and all. And what you said, frankly, is sin. And you know, God says the wages of sin is death. And God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was on the same road you're on now, but God saved me and made me different. God could save you too. That's a preaching opportunity. You're keeping the house clean. You're purging the house. It's a preaching opportunity. There's changes in your family, changes in you. You're different. And you can say, amen. You know, Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. He saved me. I get to be a consecrated person. You know what that means? Like, I'm set apart unto God. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's get together sometime, sit down over a cup of coffee, and I'll really tell you about it if you want. You interested? Hey, Jesus, why are you doing this? You have to show us a sign. You got to prove you have the authority. So he preaches the gospel. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it again. I'm going to die and be raised again. A gospel opportunity because of the purging of the temple. The purging of the temple promotes repentance. The promise of the resurrection promotes rejoicing. Let's purge the temple and let's preach the gospel. And let's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who did purge the temple and did preach the gospel. Let's stand together.